I hope you got your Bible today. I'm excited about today, okay? I'm excited about today. I don't know about you, but the signs of the times are getting me excited. Amen. Now, I better get you started out in the First Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I'll be shorter today since we didn't have all that singing. And then next time we have church and you complain about staying so long, you can say, well, we can just cut out all that singing. Amen. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 15, I want to talk to you. After you get First Corinthians chapter 15, turn to First Thessalonians chapter 4 and put your finger there. First Corinthians chapter 15, First Thessalonians chapter 4. And those who are Bible students, you know what I'm going to talk about. Almost. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, I want you to underline at the last trump for the trumpet. Underline those, or at least remember them, okay? For this corruptible must put on incorruption. That's talking about our body. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll begin verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now he's talking about the saints that's already died. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now I want you to underline there in verse 16, with the trump of God. You know, in the Bible, there's some trumpets that were blown for some specific purposes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for another Lord's Day. Thank you again for these wonderful people that are watching and these that are here with us today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just make us feel like we're all one, whether it's over a handheld device or over an iPad or a computer, or if it's in this room with us, Lord. You said wherever two or three were gathered together in your name, you'd be in the midst and you'd bless. Now, God, we've got two or three here in this room. And, Lord, I know there's a lot more than that looking right now live over the Internet. And so, Lord, would you honor your word and make yourself real to us today? Speak to us, Lord. We're like little Samuel. We want to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And God, whatever you tell us to do, we'll try our best by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit to do what you tell us to do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've been reading lately, you know, we got all these things going on around us and all this new stuff, new computer stuff and one world government just so much going on. You think, well, surely these are signs of the time. Surely something's about to happen. And we all feel like that. We feel like something's going to happen. And the longer I live, the closer it gets to his second coming. So listen, today I want you to know that there are several reasons in the Bible that trumpets were blown for specific purposes. There were reasons that these trumpets were blown. Number one was to answer an assembly or go to an assembly. A trumpet was blown. You'd go to an assembly to celebrate the Jewish New Year assembly. Once a year, they'd sound the trumpets and the trumpet would be blown. And that was your sign that everybody gathered together, all the Jewish people, to celebrate their New Year. Number two, a trumpet was blown to proclaim victory, a victory in battle, a victory. And kind of like, you know, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and that trumpet, the trumpets were blown to go in, but they were also blown at the end of that battle to proclaim a victory. When David defeated Goliath, there were trumpets blown at the end of that battle because he won the war just by killing that one man. The trumpets were blown. And then the trumpets were blown like the other day. We had these siren warnings. You remember them? I had no idea what was going on. If you didn't have the internet or if you didn't have it on, you had no idea. But that siren was to warn us of coming trouble. There was a storm coming, and thank God it never made it to my house. But trumpets in the Bible were to announce a warning that something was about to happen. And then last, trumpets were sounded as a call to battle. That's like charge, you know, a call to battle. There was a trumpet sounded for that, okay? So there were four reasons to sound a trumpet in the Bible. And to assemble for a New Year celebration, to proclaim victory, to announce a warning, and to call the battle. Now, every one of those, I think, fits the idea of the second coming of Jesus Christ to take his bride out. Every one of those warnings we have today. And so every one of those warnings resemble his second coming or the rapture. And all of these events will take place at one time. And a new age will begin. We'll move up to glory. Victory will be accomplished. The victory over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. A warning sound to the world. Angelic troops will be summoned to battle. Brother Jeffrey brought me some water, but he didn't want you to see him on camera, so I got to go get it. I think he may be wanted for something, didn't want anybody to recognize him. But listen, four reasons the trumpet was blown. Thank you, Jeffrey. Actually, thank his wife for telling him to do that. And number one, the trumpet is sounded to assemble for a new year. Ours will be for a new age. Number two, to proclaim victory. This is the victory, he says. And then to announce a warning to the lost world and a call to battle as God is going to battle and God's forces are going to battle with Satan and his forces. So when that last trumpet, our text, we just read it, when that last trumpet sounds for the believer is what I want to talk about today. That last trumpet. There's going to be a trumpet sounded, and the Bible says it's going to be the last trumpet. Now, at this trumpet, there's some things happen. Number one, I'm not going to read all these verses. Number one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, our pastor just said it, the Lord returns to the clouds. Now, a lot of people skip that, and they think he's coming back, and he's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. No, sir, not the first. The last trumpet that we hear, when the trumpet sounds, we're going to be called away. We're going to be, we use the word raptured. We're going to be called away into the clouds to be with the Lord. Now, at that trumpet, our Lord comes to the clouds. He doesn't come to the earth. The next one, he'll stand on the Mount of Olives next time he comes. But this time when he comes, the Bible says he'll appear in the clouds. And instead of coming down to us, he takes all believers that alive and dead. He takes us up to him instead of him coming down to us. Now, in John 14, in verse 1 through 3, he promised this. He said, I'm going to take you to where I am. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, he has went since 2020 years. He's been preparing a place in heaven for his future bride, the church. So we know it's a wonderful place if he's been doing it that long. In John 14:3 itself, he says, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, I want to ask you something, and I know you can't answer me on there, but have you ever known the Lord to ever break one of his promises? No, he's never broken a promise. All his promises are kept. Because he's God. He cannot lie, the Bible says. So, if he promised to come back, as he did, and stand in the clouds, and the trumpet would sound, as we read, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, those asleep in Jesus. Now, sleep, we used to use the word passed away, passed on. We didn't use that word dead because believers are never really dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but he saved us from that. And so, and those that have gone on to be with the Lord, he said. So, those who, their body is asleep in Jesus, when that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ, their bodies will be miraculously transformed. That corruptible will put on incorruption. That mortal will put on immortality. He said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this mortal must put on immortality, this corruptible put on incorruption. You see, those in the grave, they're going to have to get their glorified body first because that their body has been corrupted by death and decay. And then he said, those which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Now that body is going to reunite with that spirit. Remember, he said to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. Remember, he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you and I'm coming back to get you. And all those saints of the early church, the disciples, the apostles, their bodies in the graves. And when the trumpet sounds, it's going to be resurrected, an immortal body, incorruptible, undefiled, immortal, and it's going to be resurrected, and their body's going to meet their soul in the air, and they're going to be reunited forever and ever. And then us believers, the trumpet's going to sound, and it's going to happen so fast, we won't, and by the way, I see pictures of graves busted open. It's not happening that way. We'll have a body like his. And Jesus, when he appeared to the disciples in that upper room after his resurrection, didn't bust through a wall, and the Bible says the doors were closed. So an immortal body, somehow, I don't know how, but we're going to have a body like his. He passed through walls. He just appeared somewhere. There he was. He appeared. On that road to Emmaus, he just appeared. With Paul there, Paul, listen, he just appeared to Paul. And so we'll have a body like his. I don't think the graves are going to bust open. That'd be a morbid sight. I think they're going to pass through that old casket, and they're going to pass through that old dirt, and they're going to go up in that immortal, incorruptible body, and then we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But all those departed, that's the word I was hunting, all those departed saints will be resurrected with a new body. Now listen to me. Departed, their bodies are asleep. Departed, that means they're gone, but their body's still here, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They are departed, they're not dead. And I don't know why we don't use that term more. I guess because we just don't think nowadays like we used to. The departed, their soul's gone, but their body's here. They will finally be made complete again. Complete. And He shouted at Bethany, at the cemetery at Bethany, and Lazarus got up and walked out complete. He was departed, but now he's put back together complete. He shouted at Calvary right before he died, and the Bible says there's an earthquake, and they saw Old Testament saints walking around the city. The departed had been made complete because of his shout. Lazarus was raised because of his shout. Look, if he came out here today to the cemetery over here and he stood out there at the entrance and shouted, come forth, everybody at the cemetery would be made complete and they'd walk out of the cemetery. See, that's the power he has in that voice, the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. He'll shout from heaven and all the departed shall live. All the departed, those that's died believing on Jesus Christ. And not only that, all the living saints will be changed and will be made immortal, incorruptible, undefiled. Thank God the departed saints will be resurrected. I get to see my blessed old mama again. I get to see my mother-in-law again, one of the greatest saints I've ever known. And definitely the best cook I ever knew. I wish you knew my mother-in-law. Woo, that woman could cook. Love to cook. Love to see people eat. Man, she just loves to see people eat. She feeds you to death. And get to see her again. I get to see her. I can see her up right now telling angels how to make angel food. Amen. And she probably helped them. And but I get to see them again. I get to see brothers and sisters in family, brothers and sisters. I get to see them again. Amen. They're departed. They're not dead. And their soul and their spirit and their body's going to be reunited in the Lord. And I know they are because he said this. He said, and comfort one another with these words. That's where I get comfort. I mean, I'm the last of 9 children. Don't you think that something like that would completely destroy somebody's mind and heart? If we didn't have comfort in the Lord, knowing that one day, I get to see them again, and they won't be sick, and they won't be on a deathbed, and they won't be struggling for oxygen through a tube. They'll be alive and well in body and spirit and soul, all united and resurrected, immortal, eternal, incorruptible, never to die again. Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. I'm about to have a fit on this. Amen. And listen to this. Raptured in a moment. Now I want you to think about that. Raptured in a moment. That word raptured means catching away. Like some people use it for art. They'll say it raptured me. And what they mean was I got called away in the moment of staring at that art. Or somebody saw, they said it just raptured me. That means that they got called away in the music or that voice and it just enraptured them. But let me tell you something about the rapture. It is not in stages. It's in a moment. They're not working toward godhood, as that misconceived Mormon will try to tell you on your front porch. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, blink your eye, they're gone. Amen. They're gone. It ain't like Baptists, you know, you drag them in late, and then they want to run out early. Listen, you just blink your eye, and the graves are empty. Every believer that ever was born and received Jesus Christ as their Savior and died, departed, their bodies in that grave, and in one blink, just blink, they're gone. The graveyard's empty of all believers, and nobody knows it but them and God. You know, you see these pictures of people going up, you know, in the whole world. I don't think people will notice a lot of it. They'll be gone in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, graduated. That's what we're waiting on. That's our graduation. They're talking about high schools can't have graduation. Well, let me tell you something. I'm in for a graduation. There ain't never anything been seen like this before. I get to graduate. And listen, those departed loved ones, they get to graduate from the grave and they become complete again, except more so than they'd ever been in their earthly life. Raptured in a moment. Amen. And then in 1 Thessalonians again, verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17, all the saints, all saints will be enjoying a reunion. It says together with them, together with them. Now, growing up, I don't know about y'all. I know, Brother Jeffrey's family recently had a family reunion. I think y'all had to do it online, didn't you? Had to do it online. How pitiful. How can you eat Cousin Susie's chicken online? Amen. How can you eat those mashed potatoes online? You can't have a family reunion online. Amen. Amen. How can anybody get mad at each other? They always get mad at the family reunion. How can they do that? They didn't. We're going to have a real family reunion. Now, every once in a while, I think about that great cloud of witnesses over there in Hebrews chapter 11. I think about that. And I think about how they must be looking over the banisters of heaven. And I hope some of y'all city slickers know what banisters are. That's the rail on your stairs and your upstairs. And I can see them upstairs now looking over that banister saying, "Preach on, Ron, preach on. Play it, Jeffrey, play it. Sing it, Joey. Pray it, Terry." Amen. Amen. Hey, there's going to be a reunion. And look. Together with them. Now I'm not, boy, I could go through a list of names right now. Old Brother Joe Hammaker, I was thinking about him the other day. He didn't have much of an education, but he worked his way up in life and, later on became a preacher and, boy, he preached hard and heavy. Old Brother Joe preached hard and heavy. He was a man's man, you know. And before he got saved, he was famous, you know, for getting in scraps and stuff and fights and things like that. But when he got saved, he was still just as much man. He just didn't fist fight nobody. But boy, he wasn't afraid to preach it. He wasn't afraid to tell it, brother. He preached the truth. He didn't care if it hair-lipped the devil. He was going to preach the truth no matter who thought anything of it. And old Brother Joe Hammaker, I think about him. Amen. I love that old man. Amen. And I think about others that's come and gone over my lifetime. Brother Wayne Henson. The man that led me to Christ in the prayer room at Eastside Baptist Church, March the 5th, 1978. Brother Wayne worked at the Winn-Dixie grocery store, I think it was, there on Cherry Road for years and years. And Brother Wayne was a humble man, a sweet man like his father. And he witnessed to everybody. You couldn't talk to Brother Wayne Henson without him asking you about your salvation. You couldn't do it. And he took me in that prayer room that day, and he took me through the scriptures to show me how to be saved. And he even prayed with me, you know, and helped me pray my way into the kingdom of God. And then a couple weeks later, he comes by with a big old grocery bag. Back when they had real grocery bags, they didn't ask you if you wanted plastic. They just gave you a real grocery bag made out of real paper. And he gave me that thing, just about one third of cassette tapes. That's how old I am, cassette tapes. I remember records too. And but they had about one third full of cassette tapes. Nothing but preaching. Wasn't no singing, not one song on the whole thing. It was just old fashioned barnstorming, window rattling, shingle pulling preachers. And guess what? The Lord let me get the flu. And I laid in the bed so sick I couldn't hardly stand it. It might not have been the coronavirus, but if anything's worse than that, I don't want it. And I laid in there, and the Lord said, "Well, you got those tapes up there." So I'd put them on the cassette player, and I'd lay there sick. And they'd preach on hell, and I'd lay there and weep and cry and say, "Thank God I ain't going to hell." And they'd preach on heaven, and I'd lay there and I'd weep and I'd cry and I'd say, "Thank God I'm going to heaven." And boy, those tapes, while I was sick of the flu, I was getting stronger and stronger in the Lord. And because Wayne Henson loved Jesus and wanted everybody else to love him too. Oh my goodness, I think about that. Amen, amen. Lots of people. My mother-in-law, I said it while my mother-in-law, she was the greatest person to get somebody to come to church you'll ever meet in your life. We'd have a big Sunday school contest or attendance contest. My mother-in-law would fill up pews, man. She'd fill up pews. We'd have contests. She'd win just about every time. That woman loved to bring people to church. And she'd go pick them up, by the way. She didn't just invite them. She'd put them in her car and bring them. Amen. Boy, I get to see her again. I get to think about all these things. Listen, we'll have that great reunion with the family of God. Not just our physical family. And I hope all yours got in, shall the circle be unbroken, we sing. I hope all your family got in. I hope mine did. No, but that ain't it. We'll have a reunion with the saints. And I've been a lot closer with a lot of saints than I have my own physical family. Amen. You'll get that way when you get saved. And so we're going to have a great reunion with fellow believers that believe like we did. Amen. That's going to be a family reunion like we never had. Now, growing up, we didn't have family reunions. I went to one I could remember of. But this is going to be a reunion of believers, and guess where it's going to happen? A lot of people are talking about going to heaven and having a reunion. The Bible says, in the air. Amen. In the air. We'll have a reunion in the air. Can you imagine that? He's going to stand on the clouds and the trumpet's going to sound, da 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 da, and the archangel is going to say, come up hither. And those in the graves are going to change. Blink your eyes. They're going to change, be gone. And we're going to change and go right behind them. And if you don't believe the dead in Christ still rise, go to a Baptist church. And when the sermon's over, you'll see a bunch of them running out that door. And but we're all going to meet the Lord in the air. And listen, we're going to have a reunion right there in the air. Can you imagine that? Amen. You're talking about walking on clouds. Amen. Oh, my goodness. About all the saints, none of them's going to be left behind. None of them. Every once in a while I'll get a message. And it'll say, Pastor, I've done this, I've done that. I'm afraid that I won't get to go to heaven. So I'll go over it with them. I'll say, now, wait a minute. Did the Bible say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And they'll say, yeah. I say, okay, are you an all? Well, I guess I am. I said, then have you sinned? Well, yeah. I said, has anybody else ever sinned according to that verse? And they'll say, well, it says all. I said, that's right. Me, you, your mama, your daddy, all of us have sinned. Welcome to the club. You're a sinner. Now, was there ever a day you saw yourself as a sinner and saw that the wages of sin is death? And I said, yeah, I'm afraid I'd go to hell. All right. We all had to go there. And then I'll say, well, did you see Jesus as the way to be saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but as many as received him, you know, and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and I'll go through some scriptures. They say, yeah, I did that. I said, okay, did he save you? And they'll say, well, he did. I said, but wait a minute, you're a sinner. Well, I was. I said, no, are. Or, now you're a saved sinner. Of course sometimes you're going to fail. Of course sometimes you're going to fall. Of course you've still sinned. But you can't out-sin the grace of God. You can't out-sin His forgiveness. Did you know that the day He saved you from all your sins, past, present, and future? And some people can't understand that, Brother Jeffrey. But you know how I know that? Because when He died on Calvary's cross, all our sins were future. Every one of them. And so He was saving us not from what we just did before we got saved, but He was dying for what we would do after we got saved too. And He paid for all of it. All sin. The Bible says all sin He paid for. So that means He paid for your past, your present, and your future. And when you sin now, you get convicted of it. But that doesn't mean that He cast you off. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Go back and read Hebrews chapter 12. He loves His children. And a loving father doesn't cast off his child. Now, when you sin, it separates your fellowship with Him. Of course, the angry father doesn't fellowship with a rebellious child. Doesn't do it. But He still loves him. And He doesn't disown him. He doesn't cast him off. Look, there's nothing that you and I can do that will cause God to love us any less than He did the day before He saved us. Or the day He saved us. Or the day after. Or any day, all the way through your life, any sin you committed. I'm not giving you a justification of sin. I'm just trying to face the facts of what we are. Any sin that you commit, God has enough love and enough grace to cover that sin. If He doesn't, then God's Son died in vain. You think that He could save you and not keep you? My goodness, what a way to think. I'd hate to feel that way. I got a preacher friend. I've had several of them do this to me. And sent me a message the other day. And I love him to death and I respect him. But you know what he's saying? He said, Brother Ron, I love your preaching. And I'd like to ask you to come preach at my church. He was pastor. He said, but if I do, could you not preach on once saved, always saved? How can I do that? I don't have a sermon on once saved, always saved. I don't have a sermon on eternal security. I just have the Bible. Now how can I cut that part out of the Bible? How can I just ignore that part? I'm saved to the uttermost. Saved means it's finished, it's done. There's no more saving to be done. And he gave me a promise, and he said that all the saints, he didn't say we're going to check the record to see who's eligible and who's not. He said all those that died in Christ, they will be resurrected, and they will be together, listen to this, together with him. Once you've been saved, that's unconditional. Somebody told me one day, said, well, I'll give you a better example. I had to preach a funeral of a former member of mine who had moved back up to the mountains and they lost a job, moved back up to the mountain, wonderful saint. Couldn't find a job, got discouraged, got in church up there. It was his brother-in-law's church and it was a Baptist church, Southern Baptist church. But the preacher didn't believe in eternal security. He didn't believe that everybody that ever got saved would be together with them in the Lord in the air. He thought you had to hold on to it. You had to be good enough. You had to keep this law. You had to keep that law. Well, let me ask you something, preacher, pastor, whoever you might be looking. Listen to this. You can't do anything good enough to be saved. And you can't do anything good enough to stay saved. You can't even keep the first commandment. Together with them in the air. Now, I've known some pitiful Christians who had all kind of weaknesses. I've had them. You've had them. We've all still sinned, come short in the glory of God. We'll never be good enough to be saved. And every day's a battle trying to be good enough, not to be saved, but because we are saved, we want to be good enough. But thank God, one day the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, comfort one another with these words. How in the world could you comfort anybody if you didn't know for sure that was all the truth? Now, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I didn't before I'm saved. And I'm a lot better than I used to be, but I ain't everything I ought to be all the time. I have to work on that every day, and so do you if you want to tell the truth. I heard a man say one time he hadn't sinned since he got saved. I said, you just did. He said, what did I do? I said, you lied. You have sinned since you got saved. But look, it's him that saves you. It's him that keeps you saved. And it's him that will yet deliver you, he said. That's all. We put it in his hands. Now, the world looks real bad right now. Things are going crazy. They're setting up the mark of the beast. I didn't see it. They're setting up a one world government. Trump has interrupted it right now, but it'll come back. They're setting up one monetary system. He's interrupted it, but it's coming back. And that's why they all hate him. That's why the devil hates him. But listen, the world's in turmoil. Wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are going on. Famines, pestilence, sickness, death. And it's a pretty messed up place. But I want to tell you this, and I'll read you that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. We'll start verse 16, then I'll read 17. And Jeffrey, you can come play. Verse 16, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, those who are departed. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then I didn't read this. I saved it till last, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know how you get your comfort. I don't like what's going on. None of it. None of it. None of it. I don't like the sickness. I don't like the government intrusion. I don't like the disease and death. I don't like what's going on in our church circles. I don't like what's going on with our families being destroyed. I don't like a whole lot of it. But you know what? He said, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming. Look. I'm listening for the trumpet. That's what I'm doing. That last trumpet's going to sound, and it's calling an assembly, and it's calling the victory, and it's calling a new age, and we get to go up to be with him in the air. I hope you're ready. Here's how you get ready. You pray. You say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws." You only have to break one commandment to say that. I told you, you can't get past the first one. Go read it. I dare you. "I've broken your commandments, Lord. I'm a sinner, and I know I ought to go to hell, but I don't want to go." And they said if I'd call on Jesus, that he paid for my sins already, and all I'd have to do is ask him and put all my faith on him, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and confess it with my mouth, and I'd be saved. Lord, I want you to save me. Take me to heaven when I die. Make me rapture ready. If you'll pray that, I'll guarantee you he'll save you. Now, you may not feel it. You may. I did greatly. Some don't. You may not feel it. But by faith, I can tell you right now, you'll be born again. And then as you live, you'll see in your life how it has changed. And then you may be saved today. And you might have thought you've sinned away your day of grace or something. There's no such thing. God's not going to cast you off. And that loved one that we planted, like I did that boy up in the mountains, and some of them said he committed suicide. He went to hell because he couldn't get forgiveness of that. And I said he got forgiveness of that at the cross when Jesus died, and he received that forgiveness. That boy went to heaven. There's only one sin that would prevent you from being saved. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And the only way you do that is by denying the power of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. And you do that by rejecting Jesus Christ. That's the only unforgivable sin. And then there might be a saint out there today that's kind of discouraged. Maybe you're scared. Some of you scared to death to get sick. Thank God he delivered me from that. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is other people dying. They're not being ready. Are you ready today, Christian? And then for that one that's going as hard as they can go for the Lord and trying to stay right during this time, I want you to know there's going to be a grand reunion one day. Amen. Father, bless the message. Save some sinner. Reclaim some backslider. Bless you, saints. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.